money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Back here live from Las Vegas at Circa Sportsbook alongside the Super Bowl champ, Sean King. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're holding it down here for Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard as they are on the road, which, by the way, make sure if you are out at Foxwoods Casino, you check out our guy 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They'll be broadcasting live from there. It'll be a really awesome setup at the new DraftKings Sportsbook. But let's get into a couple more headlines here, Sean. Of course, everybody was watching the Monday Night Football game last night. Patriots as 3-point dogs beat the Bills straight up 14 to 10 in a win showdown. The under obviously cashes because how could it not? But a really fun game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. CEO of the Dog Pound himself. Had the pats on the
that'll wake you up.
Money line, absolutely. If you're going to believe, then really be a believer. Like I told you, I love dogs that are 6 points or less, betting them on the money line. 71% of the time, they win outright. So thank you, Bill Belichick. Matt Jones, kind of. Can I thank him? Two of three, but hey, he got the win. Way to cash a nice ticket. Wish I had the under.
Have you ever seen a game remotely close to the lack of pass game from a team that we saw from Mac Jones? 2 of 3, 19 yards, negative rushing yards for him. Like, I've never seen a quarterback have that kind of day and get a win.
Absolutely. 1932 when they had the leather helmets. You know, this is what football looked like. But I'll be honest with you, I was terrified of the weather not playing an impact because I took the under in the Cardinals-Chicago Bears game because it said there were going to be 19-mile-per-hour winds. And they were out there like they were playing indoors, like it shot over the total. So, you know, this one, the weather actually played the role we thought it was going to play. I felt like I left an opportunity to make some money on the table, however.
You know, one thing, though, that was kind of disappointing, I felt, about the matchup, because these are two teams that on paper should be so good and so competitive that I wish that we could have seen them at peak form, not having the weather issues, not having to deal with the wind. And, you
we'll
know, let Mac Jones throw the
weeks,
ball a little.
That's true. Buffalo's coming to New England, but again.
But how's that weather going to be?
We'll keep you posted. It could be cold and windy.
Yep, no question. Well, let's keep the news and notes rolling. Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey, the two-time Pro Bowler, unfortunately done for the season with a torn right pectoral muscle. And just add this to the list of the slew of injuries for the Ravens this year. They've had 7 starters lost to season-ending injuries, 3 of them in that secondary.
And it's very difficult to overcome. I think it speaks to how great of a coach John Harbaugh
We're getting them all.
Right, one of them, Jay Harbaugh is, and how great of a quarterback Lamar Jackson is that you still believe the Ravens will find a way. Think about that. 7 of their opening 22 starters are out for the season, and yet there's still hope. So maybe they can get it done. It's going to be spectacular to watch. I'm sure they'll pull a couple upsets down the stretch. And I know this. If they get in the playoffs, nobody wants to face Harbaugh and Jackson.
Can I just tell you that if Lamar Jackson's out here getting wins, throwing 4 interceptions, like, it's a very hard team to bet against. And last week, game's on the line. They go for 2 to win it. I like the play, personally. I like that they went for it to win it outright. That's got John Harbaugh written all over it,
right?
But they're a hard team to bet against because for whatever reason, they find a way to keep games closer to squeak out wins.
Well, perfect call, imperfect execution. Mm-hmm. I mean, tight end was open. It wasn't a terrible pass. Maybe could have been a little closer, a catch that he normally makes. But, hey, I don't mind. No biscuit, no risk it. So I like that, you know, aggressiveness. I think your players will appreciate that. And again, even though they lost and I had the Steelers money line, CEO of the Dog Pound here on Follow the Money early in the morning. I know you're driving. Wake up, baby.
You got to teach me how to bark.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so is it like from the throat or is it from the diaphragm?
But you want to sound like a Rottweiler or you know you want to sound
I don't
like
want to be like a I don't want to be one of those.
All right, we'll find somewhere in the middle for you.
Is that a good starter note?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll work on it in the break. I'm coming back with where my dog's at.
I like it.
Next, moving on, the Heisman finalists were officially announced yesterday. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, the overwhelming favorite as expected, minus 5,000 on the odds board right now. Michigan edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson, 20-1. Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett over there, 25-1. And Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, 33-1. But this is more of a Bryce Young coronation than a competition at this point.
Yeah, and let me first of all say congratulations to the four young men that were invited. But I have a 100-to-1 ticket on Kenneth Walker III to win the Heisman. Oh. How in the world is Kenny Pickett at this event and not Kenneth Walker III? I don't get it. I'm not hating on Kenny Pickett, but at the end of the day, I thought Kenneth Walker III has had a tremendous season as a running back for Michigan State.
Because most important game of the year didn't show up.
Well, they only gave him the ball 6 times. See, that's the thing when you play running back. They have to hand you the ball.
They do have to give you the ball.
6 rushing attempts in that game against Ohio State.
That was brutal.
Like, Mel Tucker, I don't know if he was content that he had just got 10 years, $98 million.
Said, thank goodness I signed the check.
I will say this. I do have a Aiden Hutchinson ticket at 30-to-1 to win the Heisman. Based on the fact that Bryce Young has gone from minus 200 before the Georgia game to minus 5,000 afterwards, I probably won't get that ticket cash, but
he was actually, too, just for anybody that did see the Alabama-Auburn game and were like, hey, I wonder what Bryce Young's odds are at. He was plus money at halftime of that Auburn game.
He
and
was.
Then after the game, then that was
actually,
the minus.
Tim Murray, the ginger genius, my co-host
did he get in on
the nightcap, he had C.J. Stroud at 30-to-1. So he bought a saver ticket on Bryce Young. I think he has it for plus 220. So, I mean, that's looking like a lot of value now considering he's minus 5,000.
And it's so interesting. I was looking at the top 10 players in some of the preseason odds for Heisman and just how dramatically different the list is now. Three lost their starting quarterback jobs
Spencer
altogether.
Spencer Rattler was the overwhelming
Spencer
favorite.
Rattler out here transferring. two got hurt, and the others, aside from Matt Corral, just largely died off. Sam Howell, DJ Uiagalelei.
And I'll be
crazy.
Honest, I do feel like I need to give him a mention. Matt Corral deserves the Heisman. You know, well, I won't say that. He deserves to finish second behind Bryce Young. Bryce Young's phenomenal, but to me, the second best player in college football from start to finish has been Matt Corral. So shout out to the Ole Miss quarterback. You know, that loss to Alabama. I think a lot of it is people really don't like Lane Kiffin at times, so he kind of suffers from that, but he's had a tremendous season.
I don't know anyone that I would want to throw a golf ball in a mustard bottle at you.
The great people of Tennessee. They know how to protest, don't they?
It's brutal. So, okay, so we got the Heisman odds up. Bryce Young seems like the runaway with all that he's done with Alabama, particularly the exclamation point in the SEC championship against Georgia. But who do you think, realistically, if the voters were coming in, would be second, if there were odds for who would come in second?
I think the odds are right. I probably think C.J. Stroud will finish ahead of Kenny Pickett if they're ranking the top four. But I think Aiden Hutchinson, because of his performances in the big games, I could see him finishing second. You know, in a year where until late, no one really ran away, you know, this year. That's why the odds have fluctuated so much. If I'm not mistaken, I think Bryce Young, before the season, was in the double digit to one, if I'm not mistaken, was where he was. But, again, the NILs. Follow the NILs moving forward. Bryce Young, $1 million NIL.
He might have been 9-to-1, so close.
As the Bama quarterback. Yeah. So, shout out to him. Great, great, great season. Tremendous performances. You know, even in the game they lost, A&M, he played his rear end off. So, he's deserving winner. He'll be odds on favorite to repeat next year. So, we'll see.
Of those players in the Heisman category that are making the trip, I think that my favorite play of that group is the Kenny Pickett fake slide.
Yeah.
No, any thoughts on that? I don't know if it should be allowed, but boy, did I love it.
When I coached quarterbacks when I was in college, and I would show my college and pro tape to my quarterbacks. I never thought about sliding. So I'm really a guy that's not these new rules that allegedly protect the quarterback. Like, I feel like demonstrating toughness and perseverance to your teammates is a part of becoming, you know, the leader that a team needs to win championships. So I'm not really into the fake sliding thing, but it worked for Kenny Pickett. I had actually backed Pittsburgh -3, so I was pulling from my pockets, so I got off my soapbox and
started cheering.
Hey,
you got it. You cashed it nice and easy, too. If you got the over, I hope you did, because every point in the book was scored in that game. Let's talk a little coaching carousel before we get out of this block, though, because it was confirmed yesterday. Manny Diaz out at Miami, and we've got Mario Cristobal leaving the Oregon Ducks to head down to his alma mater, a place he won a national championship. Obviously, he got the roots there and everything. But what to you was the most impactful coaching change that we've seen over the last couple
of years? Well, I'll give you two answers to this. First is big picture. The big picture, most important, impactful coaching move of the entire, I guess, college football season.
Yeah, not even off season.
It's Lincoln Riley to Southern Cal. And here's why. When you watch that Georgia-Alabama game, the quarterback from Alabama, the tight end from Georgia, are both California kids. So SC really believes that Lincoln can get those kids to stay home and go to Southern Cal. Matt Corral at Ole Miss is a California kid. So if they can convince the California guys to stay home, USC doesn't really have a lot of obstacles in the Pac-12 from a talent standpoint. They're going to be the most talented team under Lincoln. So I think big picture, that's the most important. For the bowl season, it's two teams that I'm going to back 100%.
Let's hear them.
Notre Dame.
Yep.
Did you see the players' reaction when they finally were informed that Marcus Freeman was going to be their head coach?
I loved it. I am a Notre Dame fan, and I had chills. I was living for that moment.
They are going to be locked in. I'm just telling you, they're going to play the game of their life because they want him to be successful. And also Oklahoma. If there's one program that's trying to move away from losing a coach and start this next chapter, it's Oklahoma. So, again, pull over to the side of the road right now. Get on that app. If you hadn't left, stop by wherever you can place a wager. Take Oklahoma right now because they opened at 3. They're already up to 4.5.
No doubt. That's Sean King. I'm Stormy Bonantoni filling in for Mitch and Pauly on Follow the Money because Follow the Money's hitting the road. They're out there live from the new DraftKings Sportsbook at Foxwoods Casino Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. So if you're in the area, make sure you go down there, meet the guys every day, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. More Follow the Money when we come back.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now when you sign up for our $99 mid-season football special. You also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, other great gear. Hurry up. This is a limited-time offer, so sign up for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King with you this morning on Follow the Money, and it is Hot Take Tuesday. We're bringing a little bit of my show,
My Guys in
the Desert,
okay,
to Follow the Money today, Sean.
Yeah.
And this is something that we do every Tuesday, Hot Take Tuesday, basically, where we have a hot take.
Okay.
And we measure the temperature on how hot it is. So I created a couple of takes of my own. Sean's got some of his own, and we're going to determine the temperature of these bad boys.
Okay.
So my first one is the best early college football bowl line, BYU -6.5 against UAB. A lot of people are hating on this one because they think UAB is better than they are, but they're not better.
Okay. I actually like this because when I was a coach at South Florida, BYU came to Tampa, and it was Jaren Hall's first ever start. And it was a really big deal because, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first African-American quarterback in the history of BYU to start at quarterback. He battled through some injuries. He's come back. He's been outstanding. They've been very explosive offensively. Okay, I touched the stove. It's warm. I like it. Yeah. I'm rolling with your hot take. I actually like that because I think BYU, I actually had the pleasure of playing them in the Liberty Bowl. They travel really well. It's a big deal because a lot of these guys have families, so it's an opportunity to get the families out of Utah, you know, and enjoy another part of the country. So I'm going with BYU to cover this number.
I like it, too. And my big reason why is I think they're a little salty right now because they got their double-digit win season.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Utah, who's in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
They wanted a New Year's Six, something fierce, and they're not in a conference. They don't have a conference affiliation. They're still independent for now.
Right.
We know the Big 12 is coming, but I think they're ticked off that they didn't get where they want to be. Right now, they're a little bit sad, a little bit meh in their shell. But come game time, it's going to be a different story. Tyler Allgeier is one of the best running backs in the entire country.
He
20
is.
Touchdowns
Baller.
This season. That offense, I think, is something to mess with. I really like their balanced attack. Okay, what's your favorite college football
line? This is my hot take, and you better get on this because it's already moved up. I think Oklahoma's the best bet of the entire bowl season. They're playing Oregon, who just lost their head coach to the University of Miami, Mario Cristobal. They just lost their best remaining player in Kayvon Thibodeau, who declared for the draft, said he won't play. They had already lost, in my opinion, their best player, CJ Verdell, earlier in the year. He's not going to play in this bowl game. But to me, bowls are about motivation. And Oklahoma considers itself a big dog. Now, people around the country say, you in the pack, but you're not the alpha. Oklahoma is a place that will always look at losing a head coach voluntarily as a slap in the face. It's like
people don't do it.
Right. It's like I've never been divorced, but I've heard people that are divorced talk about how they need to get their Instagram popping so they can make their ex feel like, okay, they've moved on and they're doing better. So Oklahoma is like trying to get their Instagram popping
the
through
best
this bowl
revenge,
game.
Right. Is to do better.
Right. So Caleb Williams is sitting there. He's like, oh, coach, you just going to bounce? Okay. So I think Oklahoma's going to show up and show out. I like Oklahoma as the best bet of the bowl season so far.
I like that too. And you didn't even mention some of their other injuries. Yes, CJ Verdell, a very impactful one, but at the time, one of the best secondary players in the country. Bennett Williams went down early in the season. Like, they're missing a lot of key pieces on the line even. I think that Oregon is going to be checked out. I see, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that that's a hot take, though. It's like a warm little, like, chicken wing
take. The game's
take.
Not till December, what, 29th?
We need some hotter takes.
Right, okay,
we need
let's
some
get
hotter
it.
Takes.
Let's get it. I want to hear it. Come on.
Pump it up. Okay, I say the Eagles should ride the hot hand with Garner Minshew and leave Jalen Hurts in the wings.
You just like men with mustaches. That's got to be what this is about.
I like the mustache. I like the Top Gun jacket. I like the Minshew mania.
See, here's the deal with Minshew mania. And, okay, I'm for it if Jalen's hurt. I think he's an adequate backup. But, see, we gave him the primetime role last year in Jacksonville.
He wasn't terrible. He got injured.
Right. He wasn't terrible. But he also didn't have a performance that made all the other movie companies say, we got to sign him right now.
What did he do this week? And I know it was against the Jets, and I realize the opponent here. But 20 of 25 passing, 242 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a better passer efficiency rating than Jalen Hurts has had any game this year, because Jalen Hurts is a tremendous running back. See, I listen to a lot of Michael Lombardi.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts is a tremendous running back. As far as a quarterback, maybe just give a little Minshew mania.
So you tell Michael Lombardi that Jalen Hurts eventually will be Russell Wilson. That's who it reminds me of. He just is not as in of a secure organization as Russell was when he got to Seattle under Pete Carroll. People forget they had one of the top defenses in the National Football League. He had Marshawn Lynch to hang the football off to, so he was able to grow with all the pieces around him, established, experienced, and ready to ride. Jalen Hurts is a kid leading other kids. His two wide receivers, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith, are both babies. That entire coaching staff, if I'm not mistaken, is the youngest in the National Football League. So they are growing together. I'll say this about Minshew. He's kind of like a non-alcoholic beverage. Yeah, it's cool.
You get the taste.
Right, but when you really want to get it popping and you want to turn all the way up, which this is hot takes, you want something with a little something extra in it. And I just don't know if Minshew, look, he hasn't done enough for me to know his name right, is capable of doing that over an extended
period. Maybe the take wasn't hot, but that was a burn,
you
my
like
friend.
That?
That was pretty good. And I will say one last thing on this thing. Potential, all it means is ain't done yet.
You're right. That's true.
So we shall see. Give me another hot take.
All right, look at here. Michigan will be the 2021 college football national champions.
That's a hot take.
Absolutely.
That's a hot take, but I got to tell you, I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you very much.
But that's a hot take. That's like, I'm out in their Vegas heat cracking an egg in the 118 degrees on my car windshield. That's hot. I like it.
So listen, I have this high-tech equipment where I can find out information that no one else knows. So this is what Jim Harbaugh is listening to every morning. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He's got that Charlie Daniels playing. They are going to beat Georgia. I'm telling you, Michigan on the money line right now. Don't ask me why. Just go with what I say. I'm telling you, Michigan matches up perfectly with Georgia. Georgia was the most overrated team, in my opinion, in college football because their schedule came up extremely soft. I had Alabama on the money line. The game I told people to look at was the Kentucky game that was in Athens. It was 14-7 at the half. Levis, I think, was 23 of 27 without having the numbers right in front of me in that game. I'm telling you, Georgia's been overrated all year. I like Michigan to win. And in a one and done, his last game, by the way, as the head coach at the University of Michigan, will be the national title game. And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
When you get back to my other hot take.
No, I want it now.
Okay,
I want it now.
Give it to me. Fresh off the presses. Ding, 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 ding. Woo! That's right. Jim Harbaugh will win the national championship with the Michigan Wolverines, and he will leave on top. He will be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. You heard it here right now, man. On Follow the Money. This is Sean King's hottest of hot takes moving forward. When it happens, just send me my flowers.
It's too hot. It's scorching. I have third-degree burns all over me right now. It's too hot. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Jim's going to stay.
Why?
Jim's going to stay a Michigan man.
Why?
Because this is the best year he's ever had, and he wants to build on it with this group of young men. And he doesn't want to go to the Raiders,
okay? Why not? They just paid a coach $100 million over 10 years.
Sorry.
I'll just tell you, it's going to happen.
I honestly think a lot of it is just the internal 49ers fan in me that still misses the days of who's got it better than us? Nobody.
I like it. So think about this for a second. Jim has really struggled at Michigan getting over what hump? Beating Ohio State.
And he did it.
Getting Michigan into the college football playoff.
So you think
he was forced.
What if he doesn't win the national championship?
I still think he leaves because I think they finally won a Big Ten title. That's always on his resume. He came back to his alma mater to get Michigan back on top. They're now on top. He's tired of recruiting. He's tired of having to chase 16, 17-year-olds around the country, do in-home visits, getting his khakis dirty.
All right.
Yeah, you don't know the cleanliness of all these houses you're going
in. I don't have khakis, and I actually pride myself on that. Okay, I have a couple more hot takes for you, but since we are running out of time, we only have 40 seconds.
My bad.
Brian Kelly's Southern accent is better than Sean King's.
No, because mine's natural. I don't know what Brian Kelly was doing. You think we weren't going to watch, like, his first interaction with the fans? Like, how can a phony be any more phonier? Like, that's what I've heard about Brian Kelly is that he tells you it's green and it's really blue. Like, come on, BK, just be yourself. That's good enough.
I actually really relate because sometimes when people speak to me in their accent, I try to talk it back to them.
I don't do that.
I don't mean to. I just can't contain myself. Okay. It started when I was a waitress at Applebee's back in the day, and it just never left me.
Applebee's got that 2-for-1,
though. This is what you get with Sean King and I at the desk. More Follow the Money coming up on the other side. Stay with us.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here on a Tuesday, Follow the Money live from Las Vegas at a Circa Sportsbook. If you're just joining us, Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for Mitch Moss and Polly Howard today, talking a lot of college football. And I'm excited to extend that conversation, get a little bit more strategy when it comes to the college football bowl betting scenarios. Bring in our guy, David Purdom, ESPN gambling industry expert reporter, also of ESPN Chalk. Follow him at David Purdom, P-U-R-D-U-M. How are we doing, David?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you so much for coming on today. Definitely want to get into just some of these college football bowls line movement already. So what are some of the games that you've already seen lines move the most here early on?
Yeah, there's been a few. Purdue started as a 3-point favorite over Tennessee. Tennessee is now the favorite at 3. Minnesota has gone from a 7-point favorite to a 4-point favorite over West Virginia. So some early movement towards the Mountaineers there. North Carolina went from a 5 to a 7.5-point favorite over South Carolina. A&M went from 3.5 to 6.5 over Wake Forest. But the biggest one is over there by you guys in Nevada. Nevada started as a 6.5-point favorite over Western Michigan. That line's dropped all the way down to 1 at some spots. And I think I see Circa even has Western Michigan as the favorite over there. So that's like a 7-point move. There's questions whether Nevada quarterback Carson Strong is going to play or will he sit out and prepare for the draft. And that's always a big concern throughout bowl betting season.
You know, David, I just to dig a little deeper there, what has the bigger impact in these line movements? Is it players opting out or is it coaching changes?
Players, certainly players. Coaching changes. I asked Ed Salmons over at the Westgate about that. And the interim coach compared to a head coach, the difference is very negligible toward the line. The players will be. And even though I say the players, it's really got to be key players, and it's got to be kind of a bunch of them. Once you get a quarterback going to the backup quarterback, that's going to be the biggest difference. But I know we were going to talk a little bit about Kayvon Thibodeau, the future, potential number one overall pick for Oregon sitting out. He's not going to have much impact on the line at all. So unless it's a quarterback, you just don't see much impact on the line.
Right, and we already saw Kayvon Thibodeau miss a number of games for the Oregon Ducks this year as well, and they were still able to win a number of them. So which would be some of those riskiest games for bettors right now in terms of players we already know that are sitting out, aside from maybe the Carson Strong that you already mentioned?
Yeah, he's the biggest one right now. I'd also keep an eye out on Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett. They are a small favorite over Michigan State right now. Some people say he may try to sit out. We'll have to kind of see like that. But that's the whole guessing game you're playing in this bowl season. And that works for both sides of the counter, right? Bookmakers are trying to follow it as best as they can. They have guys dedicated to watching Twitter and kind of monitoring to see which guys will sit out. Bettors almost always know the guys that are going to sit out a little bit before the books, and that's usually how the books find out. All of a sudden, they start taking a bunch of bets and like, what's going on here? And then they see some kind of the news break. So bettors are almost always on top of it before the books.
You know what's interesting is you use Pitt and Kenny Pickett, but one of your line movements was North Carolina -5 to -7.5. Is that leading us to believe that the quarterback Sam Howell is going to actually play in the bowl game for Mack Brown?
It would certainly indicate that a little bit. It is a guessing game, as I've said. I also think that the power ratings there on South Carolina have really diminished throughout the season. They played a little bit better towards the end of the season, but they've really had a down season there. So for that to go over a touchdown, that's probably a bigger move than some of those other ones I mentioned, going 5, 6, 2, 7, and 7.5. So there are definitely, I would think, those bettors that help shape that line. Believe Howell's going to play.
I know you're always really keyed in on these types of things, but in terms of the CFP championship right now, which teams are sportsbooks having futures bets that they need to worry about? I know some of those liability can really stick out at the books if you get a good number early.
Yeah, especially if you're in Michigan, and some of those Michigan sports books right now are really inundated with Wolverines bets, especially with that team starting as long as they did in the preseason. They 150 to 1, 100 to 1, 200 to 1. You could find Michigan around in the preseason. They have the most money wagered at Michigan sports books is on the Wolverines national champion. Nationally, though, when you look around, it's right there in Georgia, Alabama have around in action. Depends which book you got to see which team has a little more action, but those two have attracted the most action nationally.
Nobody's getting in on Cincinnati. There's no big tickets out there on Cincy. Come on.
Oh, there's some big tickets out there on Cincy for sure. I see one $1,000 at 100 to 1 that was placed in September with FanDuel of $100,000 ticket right there. Another one of the biggest ones on Michigan, $2,000 on 100 to 1 also at FanDuel. And that was placed way back in August. So that's a $200,000 ticket. So there are some big tickets. There's just not a lot of them on the Bearcats for sure.
You're missing Sean licking his chops over here now with that Michigan ticket.
If you could hit me on the bat phone with the information for those two bettors, I'd be willing to offer them their $1,000 and $2,000 back right now.
Well, they got that. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Prop Swap, one of those you have a secondary market where you could put that on there, so you better put it on your shopping list.
I'm sure they're going to want a little more than their initial purchase price.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I can talk them into it.
I got to see. I know it won't happen, but I would love to see Cincinnati beat Alabama.
I think Cincinnati has a legit chance because football is a game of confidence and emotion, and people don't forget Cincinnati played Georgia in the bowl game last year. They lost 24-21. Georgia had to come back at the end. There will not be a player in Luke Fickell's locker room that does not think that they're the best team out of these four and that they can win it. And that goes a long way when you're talking about just a one game and done situation. It's in the best of three, best of five. You have to be the best team on that day. Cincy and Michigan have a legitimate shot.
David, how many?
I would add.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that I would add that Mechie being out for Alabama to me is a big, big deal. I feel like he is their most reliable playmaker outside of Bryce Young. But, you know, with him not playing, I think that's a big deal for Alabama.
Is there a pretty even split up of the money that goes to some of these lesser bowl games? And then obviously, you know, we see the CFP semifinal games get the majority of the money. But for those non-New Year's Six types games, is it a pretty even split for what we see?
Usually it is. The ones that are more isolated, like we'll have some during the day. We have some 11 a.m. Eastern kickoffs during the week after Christmas. Those games will get surprisingly good handle. So it just really kind of depends on how which ones are singled out. When you have multiple games going on at once, the handle kind of seems to be divided among those three. But when you have like one game going on, especially in a singled out time frame, you'll see those get a lot of action.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much those non-New Year's Six games, but the games that are played on New Year's Day still get bet outside of being in those semifinals. We heard you're a Saints fan, David.
Who that?
That's right.
I got to get your pulse of the team right now. How are the Saints? Is it time to rebuild, or are we going for it with Taysom Hill? What's your view on your Saints right now?
It's just been a really frustrating season. I mean, we have just been ravaged by injuries. If we were even somewhat healthy, I feel like we were a playoff team. We started that way at the beginning of the season, have a win over the Patriots, which looks pretty good right now, but we've just been decimated right now. So if I look ahead, there's been some talk, maybe we look at Russell Wilson. We have some cap issues, some salary cap issues. But regardless of who we bring back, if we bring back Jameis or we bring in Russell Wilson, we got to get some playmakers around him. Whoever is coming in is going to struggle. We just don't have any playmakers with Kamara out, Michael Thomas out. We just have not had anybody else step as a playmaker. We also have multiple injuries on the offensive line. So, I would like to see Jameis come back, and hopefully just because I feel bad for him because he had a good start to the season and the injury. But unless we get some playmakers around him, I'm not sure that it matters who we bring back at quarterback.
I wouldn't get discouraged yet. I think what happened to New Orleans is what happens to a lot of teams. They have these backup quarterbacks that people like but that can't actually play. Like, I love Sean Payton to death, but I'm telling you, there's a whole fan base in Denver that could have told him if Trevor Siemian had to get in the game, what the results were going to be. And listen, I know Taysom Hill is a great story, but deciding to extend him I think was a bad decision, because if he has to play quarterback, your team is in trouble. You always hate when a guy gets injured. I thought this was a great opportunity for Jameis. But don't forget, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, like they have weapons that just aren't playing right now. And if you looked at Taysom Hill, you probably a receiver. You don't want to come back anyway. But I think next year they'll be back. That defense still has a lot of good pieces. So I wouldn't fret. I think they'll get it fixed this offseason. Joe Brady might even be coming back to the fold, DP.
We definitely take him. Boy, that would be a spark. But, like you said, if we get Thomas back, we get Kamara back, we're a whole different team. Hill, last year when he was the starter and he had those guys, I think he was 3-4-1, completed 70% of his passes. He looked a lot different. Anybody would look a lot different when you got a Michael Thomas and Kamara at your disposal.
Really great stuff, David. Appreciate the time.
You got it, guys. Have a good holiday.
You too. That's David Purdom, ESPN gambling industry reporter, also of ESPN Chalk, and just really good insight on how to approach the bowl season.
And great
as
choice
bettors.
In hats.
A tough choice in NFL team, though, and I can relate. 49ers fan right here. Not ideal. Maybe they don't want Taysom Hill to be the quarterback. $90 million is a steep price. More Follow the Money on the other side with Stormy and Sean. Don't go anywhere.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook takes football same-game parlays to a whole other level. Now you can combine same-game parlays from different games to give you even more ways to make your perfect combo. In addition to that, Bet Rivers has added more and more same-game parlay props for college football matchups just in time for the biggest games of the season. Download the Bet Rivers app or go to BetRivers.com today to explore all the new ways you can create your ideal combo. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, which is 1-800-994-8448. Colorado, 1-800-5-8-8-8. 522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. If you're in Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Our Iowa residents, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Void where prohibited.
Who doesn't love some same-game parlays?
Absolutely.
Right?
I stink at them, but sometimes the payouts make you just want to dive right in.
Oh, yes. That's what we were talking about earlier. They say parlays are for suckers, but sometimes when you win, it is the best feeling ever. Story about Antoni and Sean King with you. Time to talk a little NBA. And to recap last night, 76ers, Hornets, that game way over, 127-124. The total in that one was 214.5. 76ers getting the big win there. Warriors continue to cruise as well, beating the Magic last night easily, 126-95. Now tied up with the Suns, both 20 wins apiece. Suns improve to 20-4, best record in the NBA, which gave us a little idea. Something that we do on my show, My Guys in the Desert, every now and then, is a little like, love, hate on the slate that's coming up. And so I challenged Sean to give me a couple of his picks. But with the three games that are on the slate coming up tonight, we have Nets at Mavericks. Whoa, good Lord. Learn how to speak, Stormy. Knicks at Spurs and Celtics at the Lakers. All some big NBA matchups coming up. So things we like, things we love, things we hate, and absolutely do not want to bet tonight.
Right.
So my like tonight is the Celtics +3. They're 13-11 on the year. Celtics got off to a really slow start this season. Been a little inconsistent, but winners in three of their last four games. Last game just belting the Trailblazers in Portland. Celtics also beat LA at home in November by 22 with LeBron and AD on the court. I like this one. I think LA's pretty up and down. If I was betting a side, I would bet the road dog in this one. So that's the one I like. The one I love is actually on the other team. We're going with Anthony Davis over 22.5 points tonight. I love this bet. He's gone over that number in 14 of his 24 games this year, including, this is the most important part, 6 of the last 7, and put up 31 in the previous meeting with the Celtics this year. Can't shoot a three-pointer to save his life, but boy, does he get buckets. That's the one I love. And my hate, anything to do with the Nets spread. Keep me away from them. Keep me away. If I bet them, I lose. If I bet against them, I lose. They're 1-8 ATS their last 9 games. Keep me away from the Nets.
That's what the yellow tape is for. Sometimes you have to put certain teams, certain players,
in
your own little yellow box. Yeah.
And I'll be laying right there.
That's right. And just watch it from a distance. So moving to me, the things that I like tonight, I like the Knicks -2.5. And it's very simple. Spurs are on the second day of a back-to-back. Knicks haven't played since Saturday. Julius Randle and that group will be fresh. I like the Knicks to cover this number. But you ask me what I love. I'm all about when you get fired showing your old boss that he made a mistake. So I like the Celtics +3. As Stormy said, 145-117, spanking of Chauncey Billups and the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Dennis Schroeder had 31 points. So guess who the Lakers said? Well, you ain't good enough. You are a little less than what we're looking for. Well, the German is coming back to L.A., and he's going to prove a point. Celtics have already beaten the Lakers this year, 130-108. Schroeder had 21-6-6 in that game. Jason Tatum, their all-star, chipped in another 37. I like the Celtics to not only cover this number, but to win outright. Now, the game that I hate, which if I can convince Stormy that she should back the Brooklyn Nets, maybe this will go a long ways to doing it. As I hate the Mavericks +3.5, and here's why. Porzingis might as well be named Porcelain because he's very fragile and he's never available. Add on to that, Luka's going to be a game-time decision. So I think the Mavericks could be without a lot of their firepower tonight. So maybe, just maybe, James Harden's getting back to Texas, got some buddies, some friends of the other sex as well coming to Dallas to watch him play. Maybe the Nets cover. I hate the Mavericks +3.5.
God, can we just I think since we both hate a side, we just stay away from it altogether. Just say, get out of town.
Okay.
No.
I'm with it. I'm just saying the Mavericks probably going to have their JV squad lining up. So.
All right. Very fair. Very fair. I also did some for the college hoop slate tonight because there's like a 100 games tonight. It's some absurd. Some absurd slate. So a little like, love, hate for you to just take a little chew on, see how you feel about it. Eastern Kentucky got this at plus 18 at USC. They're both really good covering teams, but Eastern Kentucky has played decent teams close. They had a 3-point loss at West Virginia as 15-point dogs. They did lose to Radford as a favorite, but we're putting that one out as an anomaly here. I would bet this as far as 14. I think that USC is a good team. They're going to win by a good margin, but I just have this weird feeling that Eastern Kentucky is going to keep it closer. My favorite bet of college hoops today, though, hands down, is this Temple-Vanderbilt game under 135. Both teams dealing with a number of injuries, including Temple's best offensive performer, who went down this week with a broken bone in his foot, done for the season, Khalif Battle. Both teams are also outside the top 125 teams in points scored per possession. Vandy, 22nd in points allowed per possession. So it just feels like there's going to be a lot of no scoring going on in this game. I love it. Under 135, and I hate another stay-away game in Butler, Oklahoma for me. I guess if you were going to go on one side of it, it would be the Sooners. They're 4-4 ATS. Covered two of their three times as a double-digit favorite. I just don't trust it. Butler, 2-6 ATS, has yet to cover as a dog. Got crushed by Michigan State and Houston, but played A&M tight, so who are you? I don't know. They're just two teams I don't have enough information on at this point. And I was going through the slate, and I was like, that game just looks ugly. I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, guess what? I trust Stormy, so I just took out my cell phone. You actually got the cell phone being taken out, and I took a picture of what you love. We're going to bet Temple Vandy under the 135. Let's do it.
Let's roll. So a lot of fun NBA and college hoops action coming up today, and I feel like we talk a lot of NFL, but that's what you do when you're with a Super Bowl champ in the house. So a game I wanted to get to on the NFL slate coming up here for week 14 is this Vegas Raiders at Kansas City Chiefs, a big one in the AFC West, because the Chiefs are a different team right now, and they're fighting for standings in the AFC.
This is a tough one for me because I really don't trust the Chiefs with these big numbers. Even though they cover against the Broncos, it really was the Broncos coaching staff that created this margin of victory. Like Vic Fangio, like Mike Shula, what in the world are you guys doing? It is a 10-3 game. You're inside the 10-yard line with, 20 seconds left in the first half, and you go for it on 4th-and-2. To make matters worse, you have 2 timeouts. The running back, Williams, was starting to run off the field. And, like, I mean, are they trying to get fired in Denver? I can't wait to get on Altitude in Denver. The radio station just picked up the network Visa Live, so I can just, like, what is going on? The game management was atrocious. It's supposed to be a 10-6 game going into halftime. And so I say that to say this. I still don't think that's mama's cooking. Like, my mother can cook. So when I go to a restaurant, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but that's not mama's cooking. Meaning, these aren't the Kansas City Chiefs from 2018. This isn't that big play, explosive offense that can cover these big numbers. It was 10 points scored by them in the first half, and it was 16-3 before the defense scored a touchdown on a pick six. So I don't like the Chiefs to cover these big numbers, but I also have Derek Carr inside the yellow tape right now because I'm just not sure which version of him is going to show up. But I lean towards the Raiders in this contest because I still think the Chiefs are a very public team that's going to struggle to cover these big numbers down the stretch.
The public loves betting the Chiefs, cannot get off of them week in and week out. And that is the struggle with Derek Carr, because is he Offensive Player of the Year, MVP Derek Carr, that we've seen in a number of games, leads the league in passing yards, etc. Or is he also just going to throw a pick or do nothing or not move the ball? We don't know.
I feel like I need to drive in front of the Raiders facility like on a Friday and ask, like, is Derek going to show up or is D Carr going to show up? Like, which one am I going to get so I know which way to wager?
Well, and you can say the same thing about the Chiefs receivers. How many drops is Patrick Mahomes going to get? Not that, like, I'm the biggest Patrick Mahomes supporter in the world, but, like, come on, help the guy out a little bit.
Like I say, that's not mama's cooking.
It's not mama's cooking. Chiefs 9.5-point favorites at Arrowhead against the Las Vegas Raiders. And if you listen to My Guys in the Desert, actually, we have the voice of the Raiders, Brent Musburger, come on the show every Wednesday for the full hour. So make sure you join us tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific time right here at Circus Sportsbook. More with Sean King in just a little bit on Follow the Money, talking plenty more NFL on the other side.